Praise the Lord, everybody. So good y'all are all here on this first Sunday. All right. Well, I have a word for you this morning. I always like to start the year off with a word from the Lord for the year. And, you know, I was praying and I was asking the Lord, okay, God, what word do you have for us as a church in 2019? And there were all kinds of things that could have come up, all kinds of things that that I was thinking about. But as I was praying, and it kind of starts, that's an interesting little row back there. Sorry. I usually start praying. I look up and I see all the girls together. I usually start praying and I start like October-ish for praying for the next year. And when I did, I was seeing a lot of things happening in the life of our church. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. And when I was doing that, the first word I kept hearing was deeper, 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 deeper. And I was thinking to myself, I said, okay, God, what are you saying? And I felt like the Lord was saying he wanted us to go deeper in our relationships with him this year, but he also wanted us to go deeper in our relationship with each other. And I said, okay, God, that's really good. And I think that may be it. But then as we got closer to going into 2019, God gave me another word that kind of embodies that and more. And so today we're going to start a series, and we're going to be talking about this word that I believe God is giving us for 2019. And so before I get into that, I want us to read the scripture, and I want us to see what the Lord is saying hear what the Lord is telling us. So it's going to be a little different because I'm having all kinds of technical difficulties, but you know what? I got the word up here. Just kidding. Philippians 1, I see it, but it's a little challenging. Okay, Philippians 1, 8 through 11. If you have your Bibles, would you do me a favor? Let us stand out of reverence for the word of the Lord. We're going to just read 8 through 11 together. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. But before you do that, would you do me a favor? Lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air and let's say our Bible affirmation together. I think it is so important that we start the year off saying this word. Somebody say amen. Because I believe that God is going to speak to us in 2019. Now, I don't know about y'all, but my 2019 is going to be my best year ever. I am declaring, if you're saying no, we already got a problem. You're going to have to start declaring over 2019 that 2019, I've been saying for years I'm going to get my life together. This the year I'm getting my life together for real, y'all. For real. I'm together this year. This is it. Everything is coming in alignment with what God's word and his promises have said for us. So let us speak this with confidence and with clarity this morning. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, let's get this going. Let's read Philippians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading together, let's read from one version. You ready? For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move me aside, that you would come in, that you would fill us, oh God, with a word that will stick with us throughout this year. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would challenge us, that you would shape us, you would mold us, you would prepare us for the best year ever of our lives. Lord, have your way this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we are called to excellence. Oh, y'all didn't want to say it when you heard it, so let's try it again. Say, we are called to excellence. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. We are called to excellence. So the word that the Lord gave me for this year is excellence. And I was like, God, you know, I don't really like that word. Because the truth of the matter is when we think about excellence, we think about perfection. And God says, I want to clear that up. That's not what I'm calling you to. I'm not calling you to be perfect. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm calling you to a new standard. I'm calling you to something higher. I'm calling you to something different. And the Lord started speaking to me and he said, we are living in a day and age where holiness and excellence are no longer valued. We're living in a day and age where truth and morality and doing things that are right are no longer real. I'm talking about in the church and in the world. Not just because we see our government and we want to talk about our government. I'm talking about in the church too. We're living a day and age where in the church, we don't celebrate, we don't value, we don't reach for anything higher than just what's comfortable for us. And the Lord said in 2019, if you're going to have the best year that you can ever have, if you're going to have a year where you are achieving and getting everything that I've called you to have, you are going to have to start stretching, striving, and seeking to live in excellence in every area in your life. Don't nobody want to say amen. Pastor, oh, that's all. Oh. No, I was in my spirit shouting. Y'all was like, oh, man. Oh, man. You want to push me to do better in 2019? I would say and venture to say that many of you are here today because you don't want 2019 to look like your previous years. You want to live in better health. You want to live, come on, somebody, better financially. You want to live better on your job. You want to have a better time and a better year academically. You want to do better in sports. You want to do better with your relationships. You want to have a much better year. I don't know too many people who start the year off and who go to church on the first Sunday in the morning that don't want something better out of the year. You are here because you are saying, God, I want to do something different this year. I want to see you do something in me that I've never seen you do in me before. I want to be the best me I can be. And God is saying, if that is true, you're going to have to start seeking excellence. And I'm going to explain what that looks like because I think we have the wrong idea of it. So, as we take a look at this, over the next few weeks, we are going to be studying in the book of Philippians. So one of the things, if you want to kind of keep up with us over the next few weeks, is you can be reading the book of Philippians. It's only about 6 chapters. It's a pretty quick book. And you can read a chapter a week or a day, whatever you want to do. But on the background of it, we should be reading our Bibles how often? Every day. So, you know, if you read a chapter or a couple sentences a day, you'll get through a chapter a week at least. Amen. All right. So we're going to start this series and we're going to talk over the next several weeks to come about this call to excellence. And what I want to share with you is today I just want to set a foundation. I just want to set the foundation of the word that God has given us. And as we look at this, we look back at the history of the book of Philippians. Paul is the author of the book of Philippians, and he's in jail. And while he's in jail, and I'm going to tell you a little bit, this is 62 AD, and he's in prison because of something that happened when he went to visit the church. So Paul was minding his business, and he got this vision from God saying, go to Philip of Macedonia and go preach the gospel there. And Paul kept trying to go other places, but God said, no, I want you to go to Philippi in Macedonia. And Paul says, okay, finally, I'm going to go. The reason why this was so significant is because Macedonia was the first place that Paul settled outside of his own continent. It was a new continent for him. So he was taking the gospel to a whole new continent, and it is from there that the gospel started spreading all over Europe. So this was a key location for Paul. But this is 62 AD, and 11 years prior to that, in Acts chapter 16, Paul decided to go there because he had got a word from the Lord. And when he went there, he ended up meeting up with this slave girl who had the ability to tell fortunes. And she was like, oh, you're the Most High. You're from the Most High God. And she was just annoying Paul so much. Paul said, just shut up and cast the devil out of her. And so she lost her ability to fortune tell. Her masters were so upset over her ability to fortune tell because they said, look, you done messed up my money. That's my money. And the reason they were so upset, let me explain to you why, is because here's what happens. When people don't have wisdom and don't know what to do, they will turn to everything else but God to figure out what to do. And they were using this girl to get wisdom, so to speak, about how to lead the people and how to lead their businesses and how to do stuff. Come on, somebody. And when she stopped telling fortunes, they were like, you have taken away my wisdom. And God was like, if you'll just seek me, I'll give you the wisdom you want. We see that today. Today we got people ruling countries, ruling companies, ruling families and businesses that are doing everything but seeking the will of God. They turn into books and Google. How many times we Google something when we don't know the answer? And say, instead of saying, God, what are you saying to me? And so they got upset. But what happened was when they got upset, they put Paul in chains. And Paul was in prison and a miracle started. The church started spreading. The church started to grow. And this place that Paul was in when he wrote this letter was he was in chains. He was locked up and he was back in this church again 11 years later in the middle of a miracle. And I would say that that church was not much different than our church today. Or I would even say that church is not much different than maybe your own personal walk with Jesus. Because what happens is many of us come because God did a miracle in our lives and we have grace in our lives. And this church is a church that has started from a space of grace. I mean, come on, y'all. This is 2019. This year, this church will be 19 years old. And we started, amen, we started with a 13-year-old, a 28-year-old, 26-year-old, and an adult male. I didn't call myself I don't call myself an adult at 26. I was not very bright, but three people. And here we sit 19 years later. I call that a miracle. I call that the grace of God on our lives. That this church has been born out of a miracle. You are a miracle. The grace that God has to save you and to set you free, to keep you from all the stuff that you've done, and yet you're still here in 2019. That's a miracle. And sometimes when we go through experiences where we have miracles and then we get on the other side where things start to get a little bit better and grace is flowing, we tend to forget. We forget what God is calling us to. We forget why God graced us. It is in this place that Paul is writing to this church, 11 years after a miracle, saying, look, watch this. Check out verse 10. Here's the word. He says, I've been praying for you, and my prayer is that you may approve the things that are excellent. Somebody say excellent. Now, excellent is a superlative. Some of y'all are like, oh, I'm not ready to go back to school. Don't talk to me about superlatives. But let me explain what a superlative is. When I was growing up in the Midwest, I don't know if y'all did this, but we used to have the superlatives. Did y'all know what that was? Anybody know what that is? That's where they would say who got the best smile, who makes the best couple, who's got the most spirit. Y'all remember those? They called them superlatives. And what would happen was is we would all vote on the best. Well, the idea of it is that a superlative means that there is good, there's better, but we're going to honor the best. Get it? There's good, there's better, and there's best. So superlatives are comparative. And so when we think about that, Paul is saying, I'm not asking you to look for the good. I'm not asking you to look for the better. I'm asking you to look for the best. I'm asking you, as God has given you grace and God has worked in your life, will you start looking for the best and discerning the best in every situation of your life? Or will you just settle for what's good? See, the reason why some of us end up in some jacked up situations is because we settle for what we thought was good and we didn't settle for best. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, I married what was good. I didn't marry what was best for me. I'm working in school and I did what's good. I didn't do what was best when I worked in school. See, I'm going to tell you something. God is trying to raise our standard this year. God is trying to raise the bar in our life this year so that we're not okay with just what's good. Well, look, I'm good. I did that. I'm good. I'm alive. God's like, I don't want you to just be living. I want you to be living in your best health. You waking up every day with pains in your body. Do you think God is excited about that for you? But you're like, I'm good. You're not good. Let me say this. You're good, but you're not best. Come on. I have recently gone through some changes in my life. About 3 months ago, I would wake up every day with pain. And you know what I just said? I said, must be a function of getting old. It wasn't a function of getting old. It was a function of me not living at my best. I wasn't doing the things that I needed to do to take care of my health so that when I wake up in the morning, I wake up energized. How many of y'all wake up? You ain't got to lift your hands, but let's just be honest. You wake up and you just as tired as you was when you went to sleep. And you done just had 6 to 8 hours of sleep, but you still tired. That's a problem. Why? Because I cannot live the life that God has called me to live. I cannot do what God is calling me to do if I'm not operating at my best. And this year, God is like, people, we're going to get it together. We're going to be our best. We're going to live in excellence where we're not waking up with these pains. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be looking at my bank account stressed out no more. I want to live my life so that this year, it is the best year financially I have ever had. I don't want to come in this church and be like, oh, you know, 5 years ago, things were so much better. This is our best year in this church. We're going after it. We're not going to sit back and wait for stuff to happen. We're going to do what God has called us to do because we want excellence. We want the best that God has for us. So Paul is writing, and I believe that God has called me to bring this to our congregation, not just for the church, not just for me, but for all of us. Because I could just say this is a word for me, but it's not. It's for the whole church. I think God is saying, you know what? I love you so much. I'm so tired of seeing you not have the best that I want to give you. I want you to live with excellence. You know why? Because I gave you my best. Look at this, Philippians 1:6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. See, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and if you haven't, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he starts a good work in you. And I don't know about you, it's one thing to start a good work, and it's a whole other thing to finish a good work. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We start off the school year with good intentions. We started a good work. But then by the end of the school year, come on, somebody. We didn't finish a good work. We didn't go to the day. We just like, eh. We start off. This is why I love the beginning of the year. You start off. You go to the gym. I stayed away from the gym. I purposely said I ain't going to the gym. You know why I ain't going to the gym? Because everybody and their mama go to the gym because we start off with a good work. First week. Now, in about 2-3 weeks, everything going to be different at the gym. You can't find no part. I took the kids, and I think it was like the second, took the kids, dropped them off at the gym, and I was sitting there. I was like, I ain't got nowhere to park. You know why? Because everybody at the gym. We all got good intentions, and God is saying, enough with just starting well. It's time for us to finish some of the things that I told you I wanted to do in your life. Starting's not enough. We want to finish it. How many of y'all saying this is the year it's going to get done? It's going to get done. It's getting done. This is the year I'm walking in divine health. This is the year I'm walking in financial prosperity. This is the year I'm walking with great relationships. This is the year I'm going to be closer to God than I've ever been. This is the year that my career goes in the path. This is the year that my schooling goes where it's supposed to. I'm going to be the student I always knew I could be. This is the year I'm going to be the athlete I always knew. Come on, this has got to be the year. You've got to make a difference and change your mindset and say that this has got to be a year of excellence, because if it isn't my best year, what is the point? If every year we're not getting better, what's the point? So So he who began a good work in you, he wants to bring it to completion. I believe that God, there's a call sounding. There's that God is sounding out so that these words will get into our spirits and our hearts to announce a brand new time and season for each and every one of us. And I want to tell you what excellence really looks like. The word of the Lord is a call to excellence. But let me define it. Why is the Holy Spirit calling the church to excellence now? What's involved in this excellence he's talking about? Why and what? What is he? I mean, God, why didn't you call us to excellence last year? Why this year? What is involved? Tell me what it is. So let me start with a couple things. Let me start with the why. I believe first the Lord calls to excellence because it's the basis of everything that Christ is. Christ himself is excellent. I want you to think about this. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me, this is in John 14:9. You don't turn there. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Now, we who believe, Jesus Christ lives in us. If Jesus Christ lives in us, when people see us, they ought to see Jesus. And when they see Jesus, they see the Father. Okay, wait, so hang in there with me. Because we are the body of Christ, let me tell you, Jesus Christ is not physically walking on the earth like he did 2,000 years ago in Galilee. What he's done is he's placed his spirit inside those of us who believe. Come on, somebody. And we are the walking representations of Jesus Christ walking on the earth. So if we are the walking representations of Jesus Christ walking on the earth, then when people see us, they ought to see Jesus. When they see Jesus, they see God. If Jesus was walking in supreme excellence and being in everything he did, then when people see us, in order to see Jesus, they got to see excellence in us to see Jesus. Let me see what I'm saying. If I'm missing this. When we walk to the grocery store, they ought to see excellence in us. That means when the shopping cart you got in your hand, you don't leave it where everybody else leaves it. Because you ought to see Jesus in me. Jesus ain't going to do that. The excellence of Jesus says, no, I'm going to put it back in the right space. See, some of y'all don't get bothered by that. The Holy Ghost be talking to me, girl, you better put that basket back. You represent me. And you know what I always think? I always think, you know I'm going to run into somebody. You ever notice you always run into somebody when you're looking all jacked up? And you're like, I'm just going to run in the grocery store for a quick minute. And then I inevitably always run into people at the grocery store. I'm going to start going to grocery stores on the other side of town. That's my problem, right? So I always sit there and I always think, what if somebody sees me leaving my cart right here? How are they going to say, that's a woman of God? Now, some of y'all are like, they ain't going to care. No. You know what? We are living in an extremely cynical world right now. Where people are looking for every reason under the sun to validate the fact that Christians are hypocrites. And if putting a cart back is going to make you think that Jesus is real, I will put the cart back. Come on, somebody. Now, here's another one. You know, you driving and somebody cuts you off. I want people to see Jesus. Oh, y'all don't. Sometimes they see Jesus' hands and fingers way too much. Look, the body of Christ is moving on this planet right now. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm looking around in the world, and the people who say they're Christians, they're not representing me. They're not living in an excellence where people will say, there's something different. There's something about you. There's a Jesus in you. I'm looking at a world where our leaders in this country, and I'm not just talking about from the president, I'm talking about all the way down. People have said for years, you can't trust the politician. And it's sad. You know why? Because our leaders are not displaying moral character anymore. It's not just our leaders in government. Leaders in the church don't display moral character anymore. Leaders in the church are doing things their own way, and then they want to come and preach. I'm not talking about this church, because obviously that'd be talking about me. But And I'm not talking about any particular church. What I'm saying is God is saying enough is enough. I believe the Lord is saying, I want my church that has been so blessed by knowing my spirit, to know the fullness of what it means to be the manifestation of Jesus Christ for someone else. If when Jesus walked, he said, people see the Father, then if Christ is living in us, they should say, when they see us, I see Jesus. How do we do that if we're not living in the excellence of Christ? This is not a call to settle just for the good things that God has given us. This is a call to chase after the transformative work of God in our lives to move us to a place of excellence. Look, I don't want you to just get excited about Jesus touching your life. I want you to get excited about Jesus working through your life. Watch this. We have learned and we have been blessed to know what it means to get God's provision. Right? God's done something for us. Now I want you to convert that provision into service. God didn't just bless you so that you can hold on to it for you. He did it so you can give it to somebody else. God is like, look, I want to get to the point where what I flowed in you starts to flow through you and flows out of you. That's what God's trying to do. And we've talked about all these things. Let me explain something to you. I believe if you were to look back and say, okay, you know, why is it when Jesus was around, people came to Jesus? Jesus had to beat the crowds off with a stick. He had no problem with a crowd. He had no problem getting people here. And I know some of you, we've been in this church over the last year. We've been in this church over the last couple. I'm just going to be real. We look around and the numbers are not where we maybe thought they should be. Hey, we moved into a new building. Stuff should be different. I'm just going to be real this morning. And if you haven't looked and you haven't seen that the church numbers are declining, I don't know. Maybe it's just not important, or maybe it's just not where you're thinking about. But I think about it. I pray about it. I ask the Lord what's going on. And I looked at it and I said, God, what in the world is happening? And the Lord told me, he said, look, we get caught up in church stuff instead of being caught up in Jesus. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we get so caught up in here's my life. I'm coming to church. I'm going to do what I got to do for church. Instead of saying, look, I surrendered my life to Jesus. So my whole life is him. Whatever he wants to do with me and through me, he's going to do. So what happens is we have lost the spirit of being excellent in serving him. Y'all missing that. And so since we've lost the spirit of being excellent in serving him, we've stopped serving. And some of y'all are like, I come to church, I do what he asked me to do. Let me explain this to you. Watch this. There's a passage. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Mark 10:45, where Jesus says, this is how I draw people to me. Check this out. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The only way, watch this. The crowds came to Jesus over and over and over again. You know why they came? Because Jesus was serving them. You know why the crowds stopped coming? Because we don't serve.
Y'all don't want to hear this.
Pastor, we do Christmas for San Jose. Yes, we do. And when we serve, we get a whole bunch of people here. But we serve two times a year, Christmas and Easter. I'm not talking about serving the people of the church. I'm talking about serving the people of this community. We don't serve the people of this community like we should. We don't pray for them. We don't seek God for them. We don't pray for their marriage. Y'all not hearing me. We don't do that because when we come to church, we get in this, it's about me. It's about my grace. It's about what God is doing for me. It's about how God's moving in me. Come on, God, do this. Give me the best year ever. God's saying, if you want the best year ever, you want the best year ever, start operating in excellence. And excellence is serving somebody else. And not just once or twice a year. Do you know why there's so many announcements right now? Because God is saying it's time for this church to start serving somebody else. all these events that are on the board here, they're not for you to just be like, okay, I'm going to show up and have fun. Family night, go find some people in your community and say, you know what? I think it'll be fun for you and your family to come play some games with me and my family. Would you come? Hey, you know what? We got this marriage conference. I know things might be a little tough in your marriage, but if you just come, I think God will do a work for you. Look, we've got to start looking for ways to serve other people. And I think we ended the year in such a powerful note. And if anybody knows me as a pastor, you'll know this about me. If you ask me something and you believe God's calling you to do it, for the most part, I'm going to tell you, go do it. Because who am I to say that God ain't called you to do something? And my job, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to train God's people for works of service. My job is to equip you to serve. Most people think my job is to serve you. My job ain't to serve you. My job is to equip you as a pastor. My job is to equip you to go serve somebody else. And I'm going to tell you something. I did not do that very well in the last year and a half, but I'm coming back to what God's calling us to do. I'm going to equip you to go and serve like God has called you to do. And I'm not talking about just the adults. I'm talking about our children, too. There is no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates as effectively in a child as he does an adult. So we're not going to sit back and just say, okay, adults, we want to equip you. No, we want to equip them too. We want them to learn what their spiritual gifts are. We want them to learn where God may be using them. And we want to give them opportunities and places to serve, just like you need an opportunity and a place to serve. All the stuff that you see on the board is about you having an opportunity to serve somebody else, not just get served. So if you're looking at that and you're saying, oh, good, Bible study's back for me. No, start asking yourself the question, who needs to come to Bible study with me? Who needs to come with me? Because I didn't just come to be served. I came to serve. And that's what excellence looks like, is service. See, because the excellence of being in Christ looks like doing what Christ did and Christ served. So I want to kind of highlight this principle with Eliana. Eliana, stand up so everybody can see you. Eliana came to me and she said, Pastor, can I have a bake sale? Because I want to raise some money to help give out some things to homeless people at Christmas time. And I said, you know, I'm not a fan of bake sales and fundraisers in the church. Because, well, here's the reason why, and it's biblical, because Jesus said we've kind of made our, you know, they was buying and selling stuff in the church. And Jesus came in, he said our church should be a house of prayer. So I always believe that God provides what we need in the church. You can sit down, Ellie, everybody see. I believe God always provides what we need. And sometimes we just have to ask him. So I don't want to sell, like, if we don't have the resource, I'd just rather come to the church and say, hey, this is what we want to do. Can you give? But she didn't know that. So I told her, I said, how much do you need? And she said, about $300. I said, look here, girl, I'm just going, the church will just give you the $300. You know, we ain't balling like that. But I mean, we, you know, $300, we can hook you up with $300. So then I gave her the $300, and then I also the landlords here gave us a resource for where you can buy stuff for a lot cheaper so that $300 could go a lot further. And then I see on Facebook, she has a Facebook fundraiser. And I come and I talk to her, and she said, look, I wasn't obedient. I was supposed to ask for more, but I was too scared to, so, you know, I didn't. But now I'm going to ask for more on Facebook. And let me tell you something. People, she exceeded. What was that number? Five? How much did you want? She had asked for $200 and ended up getting $560 through her Facebook fundraiser. Now, all the while, Ellie is listening to God and hearing God speak to her. Ellie says, okay, I'm going to go buy all the stuff. She went. I don't know who did it with her, but somebody. I came to church one Sunday, and this front was packed with stuff for homeless people. And she asked people to stay after church to help us put the bags together. We ended up putting together 225 bags with hats and scarves. The toilet paper was interesting. Toilet paper and toiletries, all kinds of stuff. And she said, I'm going to go out Christmas morning at 8 o'clock. I said, look, Ellie, I want to talk to you because I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I said, Christmas morning at 8 is going to be tough because a lot of people want to spend time with their kids. She said, I know, but that's what God told me to do, and I've already got a group of people that's going to go. I said, well, go on then with your bad self, boo. I look on Instagram and Facebook, and I see pictures where Ellie and her team, if you were part of that team, do me a favor and stand up, that went out to give food to the homeless and give those bags out to the homeless. Look around. I want to say thank you to you guys for getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Christmas. But look, you see kids who got up. I was wrong. Kids showed up. Okay, y'all can sit down. And they gave out more. You gave out, what'd you give out in total? The tissue capsules, that's the funniest. Little blankets, towels for their face. She gave that out and was able to, and got to find and talk to people who had needs on the street. She found children, and some of the things I had heard back was, next year I want to save a few of the toys that we gave out to the community to take out with us so that if we see kids, we can give them to those kids on Christmas Day who are homeless. Look here, that's serving. And what most people think is you waiting on a program to come. This ain't about no church program. It's about what has God said to you. Excellence, watch this, and I'm going to tell you something. I believe God is going to elevate and bless everything in our life if we will say to him, what are you saying to us to do? And even if it's radical, like go out to the homeless on, we ain't got no permit, we ain't got nothing, we just went out there. And you know, there was a large church. You remember the church we was at, FCC? You know, they were out there too, but they weren't giving out the kind of stuff we were giving out because God had a different call on their church and our church. God has a call when he speaks a word to you to do something. I'm trying to tell you, it is a word for now. It is a word for doing something in this season and in the kingdom of God that he is trying to release in the atmosphere. That is the excellence we are trying to get. Our excellence is not based on perfection. Let me tell you something. God is not the kind of God that's sitting up here telling you, look here, it's time for you to start doing better in church. God don't care about that. Ain't no do better in church. What it's time to do is hear God's voice, obey his voice, and live a life where we're doing everything we sense God is telling us to do. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you something, excellence will come. You know how long, now what you saw another thing on the screen. You're probably like, what's this healing thing? Crystal in the booth. Crystal, come out the booth. Because everybody's like, who is Crystal? I'm supposed to re-talk to Crystal about this healing thing. Crystal, for the last, is it 2 years, Crystal? The last 2 years, just about, Crystal has heard the Lord tell her to go study about healing. So Crystal has sacrificed. Her family has supported Jonathan. You know, they got a young child. Deshae is, what, 2 to 3 when this was all taking place? And Jonathan said, well, I'll watch the baby while you go to classes so you can learn about what God has put on. She's not going to school to get a degree. Look, this ain't a degree in something. She's going because the Lord said, I want you to learn about healing. And she came to me, about late November, early December, and said, hey, Pastor. No, I think I went to you. I said, hey, what you going to do with all that stuff you learned? And you said, you know, it's funny you asked that, Crystal said, because the Lord put it on my heart that there's some things I need to do. I want to kind of develop a healing team. She said, I don't want to just get a team. She said, I want to train them. I want them to study the word. I want them to know what the Lord is saying so that we can go out and we can operate the way God's calling us to. See, that's excellence. And it started by how? I'm just going to do what I heard God say. And now she's got, how long is this class? A 10-week course. And I think it's just the beginning. It's not a final course. Is it? It's just kind of like the beginning, isn't it? Yeah. It's a 10-week course where you can learn about healing. You'll learn about how to minister healing prayers, where you can grow. And it's not necessarily about, I'm going to do this so I can be on the healing ministry team. Because if that's the reason why you don't want to do it, don't go to her class. Please don't go to her class for that. I want you to go because you feel like the Lord's calling you and you want, maybe the call is just to learn about healing And if that's the call, you need to go. And my understanding is that class is going to be followed. It's going to be on Saturday nights. And some of y'all are like, oh, Saturday night. You know what I got to do on Saturday? Let me tell you something. Half y'all ain't doing nothing on Saturday. No way. Y'all, it's just the thought of what you used to do on Saturday that's still thinking you thinking about. You saved and you ain't been out in 10 years on a Saturday night. Matter of fact, you begging somebody to call you to go out on Saturday night. And then when they call you, you like, ooh, child, it's 9 o'clock. It's late. Anybody, ooh, can't be doing it. But if you just dying to get cute and come to Crystal class on a Saturday night. And then right after that, it's going to be worship room, I'm told. So you have a chance to learn about healing prayers and then to spend some time with the Lord afterwards. I'm going to tell you something. You want to see excellence happen? Hear what God is saying. Do it. Follow it. Thanks, Crystal. Give her a hand. So all the stuff you see happening in the church right now, all the things, they're birthed out of this place of it's time for us to go and be excellent. It's time for us to start serving somebody else and stop thinking about us. It is not time to be saying, I got to be perfect. You know who was focused and who struggled with Jesus serving the most were the religious leaders. They couldn't handle it. Religious folks can't handle when you start operating like this. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you got a problem with this, check whether you're being just religious or not before you come talk to me. And if you're not sure, come talk to me. I will make sure you know. I'll make sure you understand. Look, look, look. Because my job is to equip you for works of service. That's why we're doing next steps. I want everybody in this church to know what their spiritual gifts are and to know how God wants to use them in this church and outside of the church. That's what I want, because if I can do that, I've equipped you. And let me tell you something, all this I ain't got time stuff, do you think Crystal had time when she went to all them classes for a year and a half to 2 years? No, but you know what she did? She made it a priority because God said do it. She didn't do it because she wanted to come back and bring something to the church. She did it, and step by step, God worked something out and showed her something. You don't do this tomorrow. I'm going to start this huge ministry. That God may say that and God may not. What you do is you hear God, what do you want me to do? And you take that step. And you do that. That's where excellence starts. See, excellence is found in a series of decisions you make. You know how you get an excellent health? By a series of decisions you make, by what you put in your body and what you do to your body each and every day. You know how do you get excellent grades? By a series of decisions you make each and every day to study, to prepare. It ain't just I show up test day and I get A's. Those of you who are blessed and lucky to do that, God bless you. I think you're amazing people. You know, my brother was like that in high school, but then it ran out when he got to college. At some point, it's going to hit you. I don't care when it is. It's going to get you. Watch this. It is a series of decisions. What's your first decision? If I made Jesus Lord, he's owner, he's master, he's controller, he's decision maker. What's my next step? Lord, what are you saying? Once I find out what he's saying, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. That's it. And we say it this way. You've heard it over and over again on OSL. Come, hear, do. Come to Jesus, hear his sayings, and do it. And guess what else is going to happen this year? We're not, I know some of y'all are like, when are we going to do level 4? And when are we going to do level 5? And Operation Solid Lives, our discipleship class. I love that y'all want to move ahead, but I hear the Lord saying, we ain't master 1, 2, and 3 yet. We took the classes. But look, come on, y'all, because a part of each level of OSL is you ought to be bringing somebody else back into OSL. I don't know if y'all know that. You remember that? Every part of OSL is you're supposed to invite somebody else to come back into the next level. So what we're going to do is we're going to be focusing on ones primarily. We're going to offer 1 3 times this year. Right, Miss Donna? We're offering level 1 3 times this year. Some of you are like, oh, if I missed the first time. Look, let me tell you something. If you missed the first time, there's going to be a second and there's going to be a third. But let me tell you something. You're going to be delaying your move to being the best you can be. So OSL level 1 will start in February. We're doing a level 1 in February. Now, look here. Don't be like, it's for me. Go get somebody else to come take the class with you. Because our job is to go serve somebody else. So what does excellence look like? It looks like serving. That's what excellence is about, being like Jesus. And what Jesus did was Jesus served others. If you want to live excellently, that's what we're going to have to do this year. Now, I'm going to flesh out this excellent principle. And let me just kind of give you a quick overview because it's time for us to go. Because I know breakfast is coming and those of you who are visiting want to eat breakfast. Excellence flows from God and from his ability to bring power in us. If you want to study this more, Psalms 8 chapter 1 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Excellence is tied up in his name. And it goes on to say, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained praise or strength. What that means is, excellence doesn't come because you're so good or because you did something so well. Because even children and nursing infants can bring excellence because they worship God. Excellence comes from God first. It flows out of God into us and through us. So if you want to know how to do it, if you want to know how to be excellent in school, you got to go to God. And he'll show you. So what's the overview? What are we going to be talking about in the next few weeks? Let me see. I'm trying to get there and tell you. Here it is. We're going to be looking at the five. Y'all have to forgive me. I got my bottom braces on and my lips are getting tore up and cut up right now. So if you're like, why is Pastor talking with a lisp? These braces got us, huh, Gooby? All right. So we're going to be looking at over this Philippians chapter one. We're talking about excellence. We just talked about today. Chapter two, verse 10, it talks about this. Chapter two, verse five says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which means we're going to be talking about getting a new mindset next week. And then later on in chapter 3, verse 14, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which means God's going to set new goals for us as we look at 2019. And they're going to be to seek Jesus in a different way. Virtually everybody in this room seeks to walk with Jesus, but this is a call to seek him in a brand new dimension. And Paul said, I count myself not to have arrived. Some of us think we've been saved for so long, we got it. And even Paul said, I ain't get there yet. God's like, I want to give you new goals to the point where you realize, I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus, you ain't arrived yet. And Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The call is to see the world in a different way, to serve people in a different way, to seek Jesus in a different way. We're going to be talking about that. And then finally, we're going to be looking at, as you look through all of the book of Philippians, if you're studying it, look for the words joy and the word mind. Because the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Your strength isn't how hard you work, how hard you get down to do something. The joy is discovering that everything God created you to be can come into your being by his power and by his promise. You will become what God has created and ordained you to be. My job is to help you become what God has created and ordained you to be. That's excellent. Somebody say amen. All right, come on and stand to your feet. I want somebody to do me a favor. Can I get the greeters? Can you guys go grab the communion cups for me real quick? And come bring them up front. We're going to do something a little different. If you're here today and you're, you know, the communion table, the reason why I saved it for the end, because the communion table is really about us remembering the promises that God has made. Come on up front, guys. It's about us remembering what God has said to us. I want one right here, one here, and one over there. No. You're going to hold it. Turn around. Okay, that's all right. So this is about us remembering what God has done for us and the contract he has with us. And I wanted to save communion to the end of service today because as we take communion, I want us to be reminded that Father God gave his best for me and he wants me to give my best for him. He wants me to be excellent for him. That you are a representation of what Jesus did on the cross for somebody else. Jesus gave his life for you and I. If we're supposed to look like Jesus, We got to be willing to give our life for somebody else. I'm not talking about standing in front of a bullet. I ain't saying that. I'm talking about putting aside your selfish desires, making time, thinking about somebody else besides just your family. So as you come today, and I'm going to say, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you not to participate in this, but Jewel, I'm going to ask Jewel if she would just stand over in that corner right there, and Lisa will stand over in this corner. These two ladies are here. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, pick one of them. Go stand next to them and make a decision today, because your 2019, you'll never be your best without Jesus.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.